on BYUSN, Cougar football has their first availability report out, and Sione Moa is not listed.
What does it mean for BYU at Colorado? And what predictive tool best reflects how confident you are as the Cougars face the Buffs?
Brian Howell from Colorado tells us how the Buffaloes hope to slow down the BYU momentum. And the Cougars are top five in the nation in a stat that tells us this BYU football team loves contact.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to BYU Sports Station, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Thursday, September 25th. I am Spencer Linton.
And I am Jason Shepherd.
Oh, okay.
A little different. Didn't expect that, did you?
A little audible.
Thanks to BYU football, Spencer. Spencer's face has gone viral. I don't know if people, and look, it's very, he's a very handsome man, but his face has gone viral for something other than being a good-looking human being. BYU football put out a post asking which sideline reaction was the best on the Marcus McKenzie forced fumble during the ECU game. And Spencer's reaction is one of the options. And apparently you're now, you know, going viral because of your reaction. So first off, okay, so we're seeing it. Those that are watching on BYU TV can see the reaction.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Can we get a live recreation of
re-enact
this?
Reenact it?
Can we?
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can get quite get there, because that is truly genuine and
yes.
Reaction like, oh. Like, and people have been saying, you look like Bill Hader from the Californians.
Yes. All right. So we're gonna keep the camera on you. I want to see how that reaction looks based off of these different scenarios. Okay. BYU beats Colorado on Saturday.
Is it a look of surprise though? Maybe it should just be like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
BYU going to the Big 12 championship.
Now that's more of a similar reaction.
Okay, we're going to switch sports on you. Okay. BYU basketball, Final Four.
I like it even more.
How about this one? For Christmas, I buy you a bidet.
That'll be more of a, huh? Thank you, but huh? Nice. Truth be told, we may or may not have been bidet shopping for the show.
Don't ask.
I was not expecting that. Oh, my goodness. The energy is where it needs to be now, Jason.
Okay? Is it? Is it?
Energy is where it needs to be. All rise and shout. Let's get to what's trendy.
Who sets the standard on the team? Who's vocalizing it?
I feel like it starts with Clowney.
If I was an offensive coordinator preparing for this defense, I would be desperate. And this defense embarrassed them. I mean, took them apart.
It's going to be a challenge for us this week, and I'm excited to see what our team can do.
And we are excited to see what BYU attempts to do as the Cougars push to what they hope is a 4-0 start to the season for a second consecutive season. Although there is a little bit of a hiccup involved in this for BYU, because the first availability report is out. Now, if you're not caught up to speed, the Big 12 Conference is mandating that schools put out who is available, who's questionable, doubtful, much like you would see in an injury report in the NFL. So on that list, Jason, Sione Moa is listed as out. How much of a loss is this for BYU's offense without Sione Moa, who is the clear running back two? He's the change of pace back, which we see in the NFL so much. And he's been the best back receiving the ball out of the backfield as well.
Yeah, Sione Moa is going to be missed. And you look at the numbers that he's put up. He's played in all three games. As you mentioned, he's been that change of pace guy that when you have LJ, and obviously with his skill set and him being able to, you know, bounce off tacklers and kind of be that guy. Not only is he a physical runner, but he's also got the speed. But bringing in Sione has really helped with one of the things that you talked about and being able to catch the football out of the backfield. So 17 rushes for 90 yards, but don't just look at the yards. Look at kind of how he's impacted some of these games. He's come up with big plays pretty much in all three games for BYU. So it's not necessarily missing the yards. I think it's just his abilities that he brings to the table and the possibility that maybe some of that will now not be part of the offense. I don't know. Does this mean we'll see more of Bear Bachmeier
in the run game specifically,
some specific QB run calls?
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I don't know. And quite frankly, I don't think that the coaches want to be putting him in that situation very much. I know that there are some guys that are down the depth chart that will now get an opportunity, and the coaching staff are very excited about them. At the end of the day, as long as you have LJ, you're still in good shape. But I certainly would love to have a guy like Sione Moa out there because of what we've seen through the first three games. He's been very productive, even with just the 90 yards. His yards have been important to BYU drives.
Again, it's undisclosed how long Sione is out, and I don't imagine that BYU will ever publicly reveal what the injury is and, in turn, how many weeks that prevents him from being back on the field. But you almost have to prepare for a worst-case scenario. BYU's good about, at least they have been in the past, about saying if it's a season-ending injury, then they just will say, okay, he's out for the season. That has not happened. Nothing like that has come out. Most of us found out when we saw the list, oh, something's wrong with Sione.
Well, that's the thing. Like, it took us all by surprise because we didn't realize that something had happened to him in the game.
So, I mean, just from a preparation standpoint, when I'm looking at this, I'm like, okay, well, maybe what if it's a number of weeks that he's gone? What does that mean for BYU football? Like, what are the contingencies here for the running back's room? Now, I will say this. Maybe this may be the one position that feels like BYU could afford to have an injury concern because there is some depth behind LJ Martin. Watch out for Preston Rex, Jason. He's a guy that was working back from a hamstring early in the season. He says he feels 100%. He is that change of pace guy, and he was that guy in training camp behind Sione. He was the guy that was catching the ball out of the backfield, and he looked explosive. Coaches were pleasantly surprised with Preston Rex when they moved him from defense back to running back at what he could do. I imagine that we will see more of him against Colorado, and maybe he takes that out of the backfield receiving role. Enoch Nawahine had the hurdle last week against ECU. We might see a little bit of him. And then Jovessa DeMooney, speaking of hurdles, he had one of the highlights of training camp, hurdling his own defender. BYU's going to miss his versatility. The question is, how big of a loss is this? Like, I don't know how to quantify it on a scale of 1 to 10, but I do know that BYU will miss his versatility. And he's been critical in helping BYU get some big-time third-down conversions. Yes. So maybe, like, in the quantifiable realm, it's like maybe BYU doesn't convert a couple of third downs that they otherwise would because they don't have a guy like Sione Moa available. I don't like it.
No, yeah, and like I'm saying, like you look and say, well, you can make up 90 yards. It's not necessarily just the yards. It's the situations in which he was used and some of the plays that he helped keep drives alive. You know, at the end of the day, as long as you have LJ and he's healthy and he's on the field, I still think your ground game is going to be just fine. And I do like the point that you made that if there's a position that this is going to happen, look, and the hope is that this is a short-term thing and he's back and everything can get back to normal as soon as possible, but that you do have some depth at the running back position. And now some of those guys are going to get an opportunity to showcase that.
Yeah, likewise, if there were an injury, heaven forbid, in the safeties room. BYU has depth there.
Correct.
BYU's got some depth at the running back position, but I'd like to see Sione Moa back on the field as soon as possible. I think his versatility is really critical.
That's obviously Sione Moa being on that took us all by surprise. That was kind of the main takeaway from the availability report when it came out yesterday. What else? Anything else jump out to you from that?
Well, hard not to notice that big number 96, Justin Kirkland, is going to make his BYU debut. And this shouldn't come as a surprise to many of you who have been following the team closely because Jay Hill, going back to training camp, is like, yeah, we feel really good about getting Justin back a few weeks into the season. And then it was, maybe he could be ready to go for ECU after the bye week. But it turns out it's going to be Colorado. And I saw him in his practice gear yesterday before I did my interview with Waylon Lapuaho, which we will show you later on the program today. He looks big and physical. I mean, he is an impressive human being in the football world, Jason. He is big. And thought it was funny because in talking with some of the coaches, they said Justin's like, "Oh man, I'm a little rusty." But rusty for Justin Kirkland is still very high level, and he's still very capable. I'm excited to watch what that depth will provide as he teams up with John Taumoipeau, who is Hans Olsen's non-conference MVP, by the way, and Keanu Tanuvasa and Logan Lutui. That's a place BYU didn't have depth, a lot of depth on the defensive front. Getting Justin Kirkland back, man, that's a nice boost to have a big body there.
Well, and overall, I thought the defensive line has played well. And so the fact that you've got a position that has played well, and then you add a player of the caliber of Kirkland, that just makes that front even stronger for BYU. And you've got to assume Jay Hill and, you know, the coaches are just sort of salivating at the opportunity to add a player like that going in to your fourth game of the season. You've been able to get through your 3-0. You know, you've now add a player of that caliber to the defensive front.
Let's go.
Let's go. And look, and you're facing a team in Colorado that really struggles to run the football anyway.
How are they going to run it against BYU with a front that just added Justin Kirkland?
Well, and on the other side of that coin, Colorado is going to be down two running backs. And you heard, for anybody that listened to Coach Prime's press conference on Tuesday, he alluded to the fact that they may be down and they were pretty much reworking their running back room. But when their availability report came out and they've listed both running backs, Taylor and Price, as out. Oof. So you've got two of your running backs. Now, they may be getting somebody back, but your two guys that you've relied on, they're not going to play. And that's going to hurt a ground game that wasn't great to begin with, especially going up against BYU's run-stopping ability from the defense. So this could turn out to be a really big deal for BYU, both in terms of getting Kirkland, but also losing for Colorado their two running backs.
This tells me that Colorado is going to do what they're best at, statistically speaking, through four games of the season, and that's chuck the ball.
Right.
They are going to throw it a ton. Of course, there will be some wrinkles in there where they try and disguise some things and catch BYU on their heels with some run plays. Maybe we see some design quarterback draws with four wides and different fronts. Because, listen, there are good coaches on that staff. There are experienced NFL quality coaches. They'll have some nice disguises, but are they going to beat Jay Hill? I don't know. I mean, Caden Salter can certainly run, Jason.
Yeah. And coming off his best performance of the season in the win over Wyoming, I think the hope is he's turned the corner if you're a Buffs fan.
There will be some wrinkles from the Buffs, without a doubt. And it'll probably feature Salter in the run game somehow. And they're going to offer up some new looks that BYU has not seen through four games of Colorado film. But is that enough to beat a Jay Hill coach defense for the entirety of a game?
Well, look, we've already seen this defense adjust on the fly. I think a perfect example of it was Stanford. Stanford came out and looked a little bit different than what they had originally prepared for, so it took them a little bit. I think Portland State, and granted, it's Portland State, but you know, they were able to move the ball a little bit, and then after a couple of downs, BYU's defense was able to adjust. And I think that is the hallmark of a really, really good defense, because you have all this preparation and you go off of the film that you've seen. And so you build this game plan all based off of what you've seen and what you expect. But the really, really good defenses, and quite frankly, the really good offenses as well, when things are different or things need to change, those that can make those adjustments quickly, those are the ones that have the most success. And what we've seen so far from Jay Hill is he excels at that.
Absolutely. BYU is a 6.5-point favorite. That's just one of the predictive categories that we are going to reference right now as we continue our preview of the Cougars and Buffs. SP Plus The Bill Connolly metric gives BYU a 70% win percentage. ESPN's matchup predictor says BYU 77.2% win probability. And then CFP Graph says 57.9% win probability. So, Jason, of those four numbers that we just presented, which predictive win measure most accurately reflects your confidence going into this game?
Yeah, look, I've told you this before. I'm a nervous person for my team. Even if we're favored by 50, I'm just like, oh, that's just me as a fan with all of my teams.
Okay.
I'd probably go with the BYU by 6.5 being favored.
Okay.
This is BYU is the better team, in my opinion. BYU should absolutely win this game. But you're still going on the road. You're still going into an environment that can be electric. I do think that BYU has the answers for what Colorado, at least to this point, has shown the ability to do. I don't know if they've shown it on a consistent enough basis for me to think that they can come in and beat BYU over the course of the game. And it goes back to adjustments and things, maybe you get beat on this play, but then the next time you see it, you can come back and you can make the play if you're the BYU defense. So I think right now, probably the BYU by 6.5 is probably what most reflects my confidence right now. Because I think BYU is going to win the game, but I also think Colorado, especially on offense, with their quarterback, Caden Salter, may be playing with a little bit more confidence this week based off of how he performed last week. So I think they're gonna put up a fight. I just don't think they're the better team in the matchup.
This is a BYU team that really has, I'm not going to say they haven't been tested defensively, because East Carolina presented some unique challenges. I thought BYU was really good against East Carolina's high speed RPO. I thought they were very disciplined and opportunistic, certainly, when ECU made mistakes. Evan Johnson's there for not one, but two interceptions, one of them pick six. So BYU has been good when they have been pushed a little bit. I do believe that Colorado is going to offer up some looks that challenge BYU in a unique way, defensively. Mm-hmm. Not saying BYU is going to give up a ton of points, but there just might be some moments of weirdness. And if that Colorado crowd gets into it, and there is some animosity towards BYU, don't kid yourself for one second that fan base isn't still upset about what happened in the Alamo Bowl. And frankly, the whole BYU not in the Pac-12 situation and Colorado and some of those other the research schools they had this idea that, oh, BYU's on the outside looking in. Like, we have different ideals and different values. That's going to show up in the crowd on Saturday night. And if that crowd is able to get into it, how does BYU handle the emotions of some weird? BYU hasn't trailed all year. What if Colorado scores first, Jason? Like, what does that stadium do? And how does BYU handle the emotion of it and a true freshman quarterback when things do get a little bit weird? That moment is happening at some point. It's,
sure.
It's inevitable.
Yes, it's inevitable.
Will it be this game? Will it be West Virginia, Arizona, Utah? I don't know, but it's inevitable. That weird feeling of pressure is going to happen at some point. You just don't want to have it happen on the road in a place like Colorado, because I do think that crowd, at least early in the game, is going to be venomous.
No, there's no question about it. And look, it can be electric. This is a place, and I understand that they don't have Shedeur Sanders and they don't have Travis Hunter, and that was really so much of the hype last year when you had those type of electric players, and it got the crowd just crazy. But let's not forget, Deion Sanders is still there. Deion Sanders is still the ultimate hype man and has those fans excited for Colorado football. And I know it's not the start that they would have wanted at 2-2 and 0-1 in conference play, having lost to Houston.
Yeah.
But that will not affect, especially at the beginning of the game, how into it the fan base is. So I agree with you. It will be a tough environment to play. But that's where BYU can go out and sort of flex its muscles, go out and put a couple of touchdowns up, maybe another turnover from defense, and that results in some points. And then that part of it sort of gets taken out of the equation.
Sure. I'm buying the matchup predictor from ESPN of a 77.2 win percentage probability. Like, I think I'm very confident saying if they played this game 10 times, BYU wins 8 or 9 times.
No, agreed.
Like, so I probably feel best about that. But, I mean, there are –
there are some concerns, no doubt about it, Jason.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like that's, and I have alluded to the crowd, but maybe my biggest concern is probably what can BYU's offense do early in the game to mitigate some of that venomous crowd? Because BYU's offense took a minute to get going against ECU, and they had some hiccups against Stanford. I'd love to see a fast start to take that crowd out of the game very quickly.
Yeah, my biggest concern is that Caden Salter comes out and is dynamic right from the get-go.
Slinging it,
or with being able to use his legs to make plays. So that's my biggest concern is how the BYU defense corrals him early and often.
Mm. Our question of the day, we just answered it, our biggest concerns. What is your biggest concern heading into the BYU at Colorado game in Boulder this Saturday night? At BYU Work Stuff says, Nocione Moa. Yeah, relevant. It looks like he is one of Bear's favorite targets this season, so it'll be interesting to see where Bear turns for his checkdowns. LJ Martin's not much of a receiving back in that capacity, right? Like, he's just not a receiving type running back. So is it Preston Rex? Yeah, that's a valid concern. At Blue Y and Bandit says, will I have enough Monster energy drinks to get me through the night? East Coast problems.
Yeah.
Also a real concern. I talked to Brady Christensen about that in my interview with him after the Panthers game, and he's like, brutal, dude. Like, can we start a game like so that I can watch the entirety of the game and not have to go to bed in the second quarter?
But if there's one fan base that should be used to this, it's us. Because we've always done this. And what we did during Independence, it took it to another level in terms of playing. Sure. At night at 8:15. So if anybody should be between the two fan bases, and I know Colorado's played some 8:15 games, especially, you know, recently, if any fan base or team should be prepared for the late start, it's BYU.
Well, it is. I think in the Pacific and Mountain time zones, yes. But those Eastern time zones.
Yeah, but
folks,
as fans, they've sort of been prepared to stay up for those, right? It's not easy, but you do it.
Like, well, the hard part is you're up till 2 a.m., okay? And then it's like, well, I'm wound up.
Yeah, look, the worst case scenario is East Coast fan goes super late, obviously, and then you've got 9 a.m.
Early
church.
Morning.
Like, that's just, you know what? At that point, just don't go to bed.
Stay up.
Just shower, get in your suit and tie, and just hang out for a little while.
BYU loses and you stay up late?
Oh, boy. Let's not even. Nope.
Oh, good stuff. Wayne on X, Facebook, and Instagram to join the conversation. What's your biggest concern for BYU Colorado?
All right, we've got you covered for number 25, BYU at Colorado. Pre-game coverage starting at 8 Eastern on BYU TV with BYU Sports Nation Game Day. Cougar pregame live at 8 Eastern as well on BYU Radio. And then number 25, BYU facing the Colorado Buffaloes, 10:15 Eastern time kickoff on both ESPN and on BYU Radio. And don't forget, postgame coverage immediately following the game on both BYU TV and BYU Radio.
After the break, Brian Howell, a writer for BuffZone.com, he's our Colorado insider. We'll ask him, how much does the Alamo Bowl hangover affect Saturday's game? Is there emotional residue? This is BYUSN.
So they played their butts off, kicked our butts in the bowl game.
But they do get BYU on their home field.
They expect to win. They expect to be great.
Bear looking like a grizzly.
Pick, and it's a touchdown!
Let's start conference play 1-0.
We're live at Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton alongside Jason Shepard. Earlier this morning, I had a chance to talk to Colorado football insider Brian Howell, who is a writer for BuffZone.com. We address everything from, is there any Alamo Bowl hangover, to the best part of covering CU football in the Coach Prime era. Brian Howell on BYU Sports Nation. Brian, Coach Prime was adamant that this was not a get-back game. It's more of a just get-after-it game. But in your opinion, covering this team day in and day out on the CU front and knowing that these are still young athletes and some were upset about the Alamo Bowl last year, do you feel like there is something personal, at least for part of the team, maybe not for Coach Prime?
Yeah, I think for part of the team, and honestly, for several of them, part of it is personal because they were injured and didn't get to play. You know, Amari McNeil, who's one of their top defensive linemen, Amarion Miller, who's one of their top receivers, Preston Hodge, one of their top corners, all three of them were injured and couldn't play in the Alamo Bowl. So I think for those guys, it's kind of personal because they couldn't help out, and they want get their shot at BYU this week. So there's really not a lot of key guys that were playing in that Alamo Bowl that are back. And so I do think that for the most part, it's just I think the message is probably there's a lot of mutual respect for BYU, and just make sure you respect them. But I don't think there's a lot of revenge on their minds.
Obviously, the departure of Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders leaves some significant voids among other talented skill position players. I mean, the Buffs were a very talented, individually speaking, team last year, which Coach Prime has also been public about in his opinions. So as you assess this team, what would you say sets this team apart significantly from last year's group as they try and get back on track?
Yeah, right now there's nothing that sets them apart. At least puts them ahead of last year's team. What sets them apart is that they don't have those stars. I mean, it's very much quiet around Colorado because you don't have the big time stars. You have a bunch of guys that are trying to get there, and they think that they've got a better roster overall, but it hasn't shown up yet. But they do have a lot of guys that have star potential. They're just still trying to prove it. And Caden Salter is one of those guys that he's definitely proven himself at Liberty, but not quite fully at Colorado. And so there's just a lot of guys that are trying to prove it. And last year's team certainly had the stars that knew they could do it.
Brian Howell is a writer for Buff Zone. He is on BYU Sports Nation. What would you say four games into the season is the identity of Colorado football right now?
The identity is that they're don't know what they are yet. The identity is there is no identity. I mean, that was a huge question even going into last week was, what's your identity? And they didn't have one. I mean, they shuffled through three different quarterbacks, mainly two, through the first few weeks, but now seem to have settled on Caden Salter. They really want to try to run the ball, but they're still best at throwing the ball. Defensively, they've been solid at times, but they give up big chunk plays, and so we don't really know what they are. What they're really good at defensively either. And so that's really the identity, is that they don't have one, and they're still searching for that.
BYU is a 6.5-point favorite at Folsom Field in beautiful Boulder, Colorado on Saturday night. I know that the Cougars have looked impressive in their non-conference slate, haven't really been tested. Colorado has been tested. I mean, they've faced Georgia Tech, a team that is ranked. Mm-hmm. So given those things on both sides, what in the world are your expectations for this game late Saturday night?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good football game, but I think that, to me, I think BYU's physicality is going to make a difference, and CU struggles with physical teams, and we saw that against Georgia Tech. I mean, Georgia Tech ran for over 300 yards against them. Houston even beat them physically up front a couple weeks ago. So the Buffs really struggle with that. I do think that being at home is going to help the Buffs, and that it's going to keep them in the game. I think BYU is going to win this game, but I think it's going to be a really close one, and I wouldn't be surprised if CU won it.
What's the best part about covering a game at Folsom Field in Boulder with the renovations in play as well?
Yeah, the atmosphere is just phenomenal, including at night, or especially at night. You know, 8:15 is pretty late, but the atmosphere is just fairly electric. And the fact that Ralphie is back, you know, Ralphie Six, who, if anybody watched Ralphie at the Alamo Bowl, this is a new Buffalo. And it was not a good performance at the Alamo Bowl for Ralphie or the team, actually. But they have a new Ralphie who loves to run, has a lot of energy, and she made her debut last week against Wyoming. And that part is fun for the fans. You know, just watching a 700-pound Buffalo run across the field is pretty cool. That kind of sets the tone.
Yeah, Coach Prime pointed out that she finished her run, and he's hoping that his team will finish their runs. You have the privilege of covering this staff led by Coach Prime on a day-to-day basis. What is the most enjoyable facet of covering CU football in this Deion Sanders era?
Well, I think it's that you get to hear football knowledge and wisdom from Hall of Famers and guys that have done it for so long. I mean, you know, we have our media availability, and they kind of give us whoever they give us. And, you know, all of a sudden one day it's like, oh, you got Marshall Faulk that you're talking to, or Warren Sapp. And Domantas Peko, who is not a Hall of Famer, but played 15 years in the league, and Kevin Mathis, who played in the league. And so you're getting a lot of football knowledge from guys that have done it. And it's pretty cool to hear from the Hall of Famers. And even though we don't interview them, you see a Terrell Owens or a Randy Moss walking around campus every now and then, or at least around the football facility now and then. And so that's kind of cool.
Brian Howell is a writer for BuffZone.com. He's previewing the BYU at CU matchup on Saturday night. When you consider what Colorado does best on offense, and you pointed out it's throwing, well, on the opposite side of the ball, what do they do best defensively through four games?
Yeah, I don't know yet. I think they can be really good at stopping the run, but if you look at their numbers, it doesn't look like it. But they've given up some huge plays in the run. They gave like a 50-yard run last week against Wyoming, a 49-yard run a couple weeks ago against Houston. But if you take those two runs out, the yards per carry against them is pretty low. And so they've been pretty solid at stopping the run at times, but they give up those chunk plays. And passing, they got good corners, but they give up chunk plays there as well. So I guess the thing they do well is they can do everything well. It's just not consistent.
You pointed out BYU's physicality as a major point of concern because Colorado has struggled with that at times. When you specifically look at Bear Bachmeyer, a true freshman quarterback who just made his first road start at ECU, and then he did some nice things in the second half, what do you think of him on film and how he matches up with Colorado's defense?
Yeah, I think he hasn't rushed for a lot of yards, but I think he's got several rushing touchdowns. And if they can implement the quarterback run with him, I think that can be something that BYU uses to their advantage, because CU struggles with running quarterbacks. And Bachmeyer's got a really nice arm as well. I mean, he's obviously a young quarterback, but the Buffs have, like I said, they've given up those chunk plays. And so Bachmeyer's talented enough that he can take advantage of that with some of the receivers that BYU has.
Brian, it was wild for me to watch the Colorado fans flock into San Antonio last year. And it was just this massive celebration, and it should have been. It was a breakout of sorts. It was so fun to watch Colorado be back in the spotlight. Obviously, the bowl game did not go how the fans wanted it to, but clearly the excitement was fully back, and Coach Prime had a significant backing. Right now, what is the temperature of the fan base? Because it is in kind of a weird place at 2-2.
Yeah, it's pretty moderate compared to last year. I mean, obviously the stars aren't there. They're not sure if this is a good football team yet. Four games, obviously 2-2, it's hard to tell. It's interesting watching, at home games. Last year, as soon as the gates would open, I mean, the students would flood in because they wanted to get down there and watch Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders in warmups and catch glimpses with them. And both of those guys would play to the crowd a little bit. And now this year, the gates open and there's some students that come in, but they mainly trickle in closer to kickoff because it's not as exciting to watch, even the warmups. And so I think there's really more of a moderate excitement about this team, but they're still excited. I mean, it's definitely better than it was in 2022 before Coach Prime got here.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Brian, great stuff as an insider with Colorado football. I do want to finish with this last question. You revealed to us before we pressed record that you have a daughter at Utah State. You got a son at BYU. You obviously cover CU. How do you handle the emotions of a week like this and even generally college football season?
Well, the good thing is CU doesn't play Utah State, so I can talk to my daughter whenever I want. And my son, I just try to keep things at bay right now. And we'll see. We'll talk more after the game.
Elite parenting, no doubt about
yes.
it. Brian, great to have you on the show. We appreciate the time. Enjoy the game on Saturday night.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Number 14, women's volleyball opens Big 12 play tonight. They'll be hosting Colorado at the Smith Fieldhouse. Coverage begins on ESPN Plus at 8 Eastern time.
Still on the way, what has BYU's pass game coordinator Festi Satake's attention in the Colorado defense? We'll reveal that next in headlines on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Studio B, I am Spencer Linton. He is Jason Shepherd. Let's get to your Thursday headlines.
And we start with football. 25th ranked BYU continues preparing for the Big 12 opener at Colorado on Saturday. Yesterday after practice, wide receivers coach and passing game coordinator Fessy Satake spoke to the media and said the Buffaloes will make the Cougar receivers work.
They play the ball well. They're sound in what they do. They like to challenge you and play man. That's just what it is. So you can tell they've been challenged, and they play that way. So it's a great opportunity. Our guys have been excited all week as we watch. You know, just the opportunity to go against good corners, to show what we can do against man coverage.
It begins Saturday, 8 Eastern time on both BYU TV and BYU Radio. And one other BYU football note, safety Tanner Wall has been named a semifinalist for the 2025 Campbell Trophy.
BYU women's soccer drops their second straight game to open Big 12 conference play in a 3-2 home loss to West Virginia. The 16th ranked Cougars did get goals from Mia Lopez and Hallie Dixon at South Field in last night's loss.
Number 14, women's volleyball opens up Big 12 play tonight against Colorado at the Smith Fieldhouse. The match will begin at 8 Eastern, and you can watch it on ESPN+.
BYU women's tennis heads to San Diego and opens competition in the USTA SoCal Tennis Championships today. Good luck.
To baseball, Daniel Schneeman walked and scored a run for the Cleveland Guardians in a 5-1 win over the Detroit Tigers. With the victory, the Guardians have moved past the Tigers for first place in the AL Central.
Let's go.
Four games left in the regular season.
Let's go, Schneeman!
Schnee! If you miss any interviews, shows, or Deep Blues, you can always find them on BYUSN.com, or you can download the BYU TV app to get all the BYU Sports Nation content whenever you want on demand.
Up next, BYU offensive lineman Waylon Lapuaho discusses how this Colorado team is different from the one BYU faced in the Alamo Bowl. And is he the biggest jokester on the team? This is BYUSN. To BYU Sports Nation, we are live in Studio B. BYU offensive lineman Waylon Lapuaho made his season debut in Greenville, North Carolina last Saturday night, playing his role in BYU's 34-13 win at ECU. And of course, helped the Cougars' run game get going, and BYU get to 3-0 on the season. I spoke with him one-on-one yesterday following BYU's most recent practice to discuss the keys to beating Colorado and the joys of returning to football.
Waylon, I know that it's difficult to wait to get back when you're coming back from an injury, but you get in at ECU, you shake off some rust. What was it like to finally be back on the field with your BYU teammates?
Man, that's the best feeling, just getting out there with the boys and doing what you love. So, yeah, it was fun.
How are you feeling after injury recovery at this point?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great. I took the right, you know, amount of time just to rest it and make sure it was 100%, so it doesn't bother me for the rest of the season. So yeah, it's feeling great.
BYU puts up a very solid offensive performance against ECU, ultimately flexing a dominant road win. What do you feel like was the difference specifically on the offensive line side that allowed you to wear ECU down in the second half?
I just think our preparation throughout the week, or actually through the 2 weeks through the bye, they showed a lot of fronts and a lot of moving parts. So us just up front, just putting bodies on them and denting the defense really helped LJ find a crease.
How would you explain the culture of the offensive line room with TJ Woods right now?
Man, it's fun. Coach Woods definitely has a little bit of fire to him, and I think the rest of us, like online as a unit, we all have fire to us too. So we all just kind of feed off each other and use each other's energy and you know, just big effort.
It feels like every team needs one of those coaches, one of those guys with the added fire. So what is he like in game when things are intense and you're in the trenches?
Yeah, he gets real intense. So, I mean, I'm not saying you don't have to listen to him, but, you know, sometimes he gets a little emotional. So you gotta be, hey, coach, we're good. Next play, right? Next play mentality. And that's one of his things that he preaches. And he also says when emotions go up, intelligence comes down. You know what I mean? So, you know, we kind of use that back onto him when he gets a little bit emotional, but he's awesome. He's awesome.
You have to remind him of that occasionally?
Yeah, occasionally. He's like, all right, coach, we're good. Well, we messed that up, but we'll get it right next time. So it works out.
Speaking of leaders, a lot of your teammates pointed to you and said, oh, Waylon, man, he's got us going. He's our vocal leader on the offensive front. So because you couldn't do that for the first two games, how did you use that time to still try and be a leader?
I just think bringing positive energy. You know, when we got off, you know, maybe we got three and out or we didn't score. It's all right, boys. We got the next drive. We're gonna have another chance. It's good. Just keep your heads up and, you know, play the next play.
Do you, true or false, you talk the most trash of anybody on the offense?
I'd probably say true. And yeah, it's, you know, it's just friendly banter. You know, just trying to make the game a little bit more spicy, right? So yeah, probably true for sure.
Oh, and in turn, you probably generate the most laughs of anybody on the offense because I've heard that about you as well.
Yeah, I would say also true there. You know, I try to keep my, you know, trash talk to I don't know how to say it, but not too Adam, you know, just more friendly and keeping the game live, especially in the trenches. You know, we're facing each other the whole time. We're looking at each other. So it's a fun, it gets fun out there.
You have a unique perspective with your true freshman quarterback, Bear Bachmeier, protecting him. How have you seen him grow and evolve into the quarterback position?
I just think his leadership and just taking charge of things. I could tell when he, you know, first in fall camp, he was just getting his toes wet. So he was kind of skeptical about something. So just him just getting more confident and just being more comfortable in the offense.
Waylon, who do you love to match up with against in practice on the defensive side of the ball?
Say our starting two D tackles, JT and Keanu. I know that I'm going to get their best and they're going to get my best, and we just iron sharpens iron. It's always a good time.
You, of all people, can understand how difficult it can be to prepare for BYU's defense. So knowing what your team and your defense has done over three games, how do you feel like things are manifesting best on the defensive side of the ball right now?
I think, you know, they're doing great. It's just they put in that preparation, they put in the work. Those guys are hard workers, all 11 of them, and all the guys that rotate in. And, yeah, they're going to be great.
Okay, let's turn our attention now to Colorado as we're talking with Waylon Lapuaho, the BYU offensive line. What do you feel like the Buffs are going to try and do defensively to throw you off kilter?
I don't know, to be honest. They show a lot of base looks. They play a lot of one-on-one, you know. Where they're going to be is – where they're set up is where they're going to be. It's kind of, I would say, opposite of ECU. You know, ECU kind of moves around, shows a lot of fronts. Colorado, they line up and they play. So I don't know if they have some tricks up their sleeve. We're going to have to find out there on Saturday for sure.
How different is this Colorado team compared to the Colorado team you faced in the Alamo Bowl?
I don't think much different. I think they still have a lot of athletes, a lot of good athletes. They're returning some D linemen up front that are pretty solid, so I don't think much different.
BYU's 3-0 for a third consecutive year. That has never happened. I mean, this is historic for BYU to get off to another fast start. So what's the key to maintaining, and you did it last year, BYU got to 9-0, to maintaining the proper mindset when wins pile up?
We just got to take every day by itself, week by week. Don't worry about game 7, 8, 9. Just worry about the one right in front of you.
And I have to ask you about L.J. Martin, who is over 100 yards for a third consecutive game. How have you seen him grow and change the most now that he is a true veteran for BYU?
Yeah. You know, L.J. was always the young guy in the huddle. You know, just had that child face to him, but he's our running back. So just him just maturing and learning the offense. And, yeah, I would just say that, maturing for sure.
Okay, a couple of quick hitters to finish up. What music are you listening to in the locker room to get in the right mindset before a game?
Honestly, whatever the boys play, I don't really like changing the aux. Whatever, it's usually Trey or Keanu likes to play some old classic. Trey likes his more East Coast rap. So whatever they're playing, I'm vibing with. Whatever they got, I'm good.
Okay. And then do you have any superstitions that you have to make sure happen before you play?
I let those go by. I used to, as a younger player, I used to be like, oh, I got to, you know, put my right knee brace on, then my left knee brace, and my right shoe, then my left shoe. But as I got older, I realized, you know, when you get on the field, that's just, you got to do the thing, you know.
And finally, we just watched you honor one of Cosmo's heroes, and you get an opportunity to work with some people in the community that need to have their spirits lifted and boosted. What's that like emotionally for you and the team to do that every week?
I mean, I think it's so awesome. Just hearing their stories before practice, you know, you might be tired that day, and then you hear one of the True Blue hero stories. It really fires you up to realize how much you have and how much to be grateful for, and yeah, it just puts a smile on my face when I see him come out here.
What kind of balance does that provide to you? Because Kalani's so big on faith and family and football.
Yeah, I just think it all ties, you know, it all ties together. You know, you love the person next to you and have your faith, and you're gonna play better on the field.
Great stuff. Waylon, we wish you the best of luck in Boulder against Colorado, trying to get to 4-0. Let's give you some BYU Sports Nation karma, good vibes to play well, and we'll see you over there at Folsom Field.
Appreciate it. Let's go. Go Cougs.
Yes, indeed. Our thanks to Waylon Apuaho. Great to have him back in the lineup, Jason.
Yeah, look, it's you always want to be at your best, and that means playing at your best, but also with the best personnel that you have. And being able to have him back, it goes to what we were talking about earlier in the show with Justin Kirkland. When you have guys that can be difference makers and they're out of the lineup, you miss that. That doesn't mean other guys can't step up and you can't still be productive, but when you have your full complement of guys, it changes everything. And it changes mindset, confidence level, all of it. And having a guy like Waylon back is a big deal.
I want my number one trash talker on the field at all times. Like, BYU needs that guy.
You're our number one trash talker.
If only that were true.
It's not. I'm not sure I've ever even heard you talk trash.
Shout out to my high school basketball coach, Jeff Jorgensen, who repeatedly reminded me, you're too nice. You're too nice. Be a jerk.
What was the look you made when he told you you're too nice? It's called a callback.
Bringing it back. Bring back the reaction. Yes.
No, but honestly, having a guy like that back, it just fortifies the offensive line. And I love the part about when you were asking him about L.J. Martin and what he, you know, the three straight games with over 100 yards. Those offensive linemen take a lot of pride in seeing L.J. do what he's doing right now.
Yeah, and it's funny because nobody wants to take the credit.
Right.
You know, LJ's like, oh, it's all about my offensive line up front, the offensive line. Oh, no, LJ's special, you know. Yeah. So, fun dynamic right there.
100%.
The brotherhood is on display. Today's Rise and Shout Out, presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics, is a special and albeit somber one. Today we honor a former BYU halfback and a Holiday Bowl legend, Eddie Stinnett, who sadly passed away last week. His funeral and celebration of his life took place yesterday. Stinnett is best remembered for throwing the iconic halfback pass to Steve Young to win the 1983 Holiday Bowl over Missouri. As good as that play was and will forever be, Eddie was a star throughout his life off the field. He will always be remembered for his impact and what he did in his work with troubled youth in schools and detention centers. He was a loving father, husband, friend, and is forever a BYU Cougar. Our hearts and prayers go out to his wife, Julie, and the rest of his family. Eddie Stinnett, a legend, gone at the age of 64. We'll be back with more BYU Sports Nation after this.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory.
Welcome back with our question of the day. What's your biggest concern heading into the BYU at Colorado football game this Saturday night? Dave Hackett says, I'm concerned that the defense won't score enough points so they can keep the storyline of the BYU defense outscoring their opponent's offense.
We have been spoiled through three games.
That's very funny. At Position Picks FF says, will I get the kids in bed in time so I don't miss kickoff? That's a real concern.
But that's the benefit of the late kickoff,
though. East Coast, you have a benefit of that, right?
Your kids
are asleep, though. You got to stay up till 2, and then the adrenaline. And Cougar Stats just chimed in and said, like, I'm going to bed at, like, 4, and then I'm up at 6:30 for
like church meetings. And then, yeah, sacrament starting at 9.
Woo! Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory. Jason, you take it.
All right. From at Rowdy in the Rock, that Isaiah Glasker won't get an interception in front of Deion again.
Massive concern.
Yes, look, if that's what we're worried about, we're in good shape.
Yeah. Will we get to see the Deion shuffle from a BYU player again after a big play?
By the way, do you love how much love there is between Kalani and Deion?
Yes, we talked about it yesterday.
It's awesome.
It's amazing.
It's not like for show. It's genuine. These two guys have built this friendship and this relationship, which is so cool. And they I love the way that they openly talk about how much they like the other person.
It's centered in respect and, frankly, in faith.
100%
as well.
100%.
Our thanks to today's guests from BuffZone.com, Brian Howell, and BYU offensive lineman Waylon Lapuaho.
Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook.
For Jason, I am Spencer, and a shout out to the entire 1983 BYU football team who mourns the loss of Eddie Stinnett. Go Cougs.